Welcome to the Adult Explore the Bible Weekly Leader Training Podcast, the podcast where we dive deep into Scripture to uncover timeless truth. This podcast is designed to help group leaders who lead adult Bible study groups using Lifeway's Explore the Bible resources. Today, we will look at three key questions. First, what is the context of the passage? Second, what do we find in the passage? And third, what is one thing leaders should not miss this week in our leader resources? I'm Amber Vaden, your host, and on the podcast with me today is Dwayne McCreary. Dwayne has over 40 years experience leading a discipleship group and 23 years developing curriculum for adult Bible study groups at Lifeway. He's the manager over all of Lifeway's adult ongoing curriculum, and he teaches a Bible study at his church. Dwayne, thank you for being here.
Boy, that introduction makes me sound like I'm ancient, Amber. Some of that's overlap, though. But yeah,
it is.
I started when I was six, so that's how you. If you add the six and the 40, you get close to my age.
But that's how the numbers work. I should have said some of that's overlap, and I didn't even put in there all the years that you were on church staff leading discipleship, entire ministry. So there's a lot in there.
Yeah, God's been very kind to me.
Well, we appreciate you bringing all that knowledge to the podcast. We always enjoy having you with us, so thank you for being here. Well, today we are looking at session 7, so we will examine Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 30. Last week, if you all remember, we skipped ahead to Matthew 28 for our Easter session. So today we are returning back to where we were in the middle of Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 19, where verse 1 tells us that Jesus departed from Galilee and went to the region of Judea across the Jordan. So earlier in this chapter, Pharisees question Jesus about divorce, and then we read about Jesus blessing children who were brought to him. In verse 14, Jesus used the opportunity to teach about the kingdom of God by saying, "Don't try to keep them," and he's talking about the children here, "don't try to keep them from coming to me, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And all of these events bring us to our focus passage. So let's take a look. Our first set of verses come from Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22. A rich young man asked Jesus what he must do to have eternal life, and having claimed that he had already kept all the commandments, Jesus told him to sell everything he owned and give to the poor, and then to come back and follow him. The young man was not willing, and he went away grieving. Dwayne, talk to us about these verses. What do you see in here that we want to be sure and bring out in our discussions this week with our groups?
Well, Amber, when I saw that we were going to be looking at this passage, my heart leaped with great joy. This event is also found in Mark 10, and that was the passage God used to bring me to him as a high school junior.
Oh, yeah.
So this passage, this story, it has a very near and dear place in my spiritual pilgrimage. The question asked by the young man is a valid question. Some people think he was being a punk or smart aleck. It's a fair question. We all ought to be asking that question. What do I have to have, or what do I need to do, or what's missing in my life for me to have eternal life? That is a very valid question that ought to be. We ought to affirm somebody for thinking that, for even considering that question. Notice here that Jesus gave him commands that are about how we relate to people. They're actions that can be seen. Mm-hmm. Murder, adultery, stealing, false witness, honoring your parents, loving your neighbors. All of those are things that can be seen. Now, obviously, love your neighbors yourself is not in the Ten Commandments, but he's alluding to it as the second of the great commandments, which he's going to address in Matthew 22 a little bit later on. In Mark's account, Mark notes that Jesus pointed out that the young man was still lacking one thing, which is why we have the question, well, what am I still lacking? Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And this word perfect that's here in the text, it carries a different idea than sinless. It's more like being complete as opposed to sinless. So there's one thing you lack, being complete. And he tells them, sell, give, and follow. I think in session three, we looked at Matthew 16:24, where Jesus is talking to the people and he says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. You see that same pattern here. Deny yourself would be comparable to sell, take up your cross, give to the poor, and then follow me. In short, Jesus was pointing to the greatest commandment of love the Lord your God with all your being. In this case, it was a call to trust God more than possessions. And he was really asking the question, do you love your stuff more than you love me? You've got all these things. Sell it, give to the poor, and then follow me. Demonstrate you love me. Don't trust that stuff for your security and come follow me. And by the way, it wasn't about doing something as much as it was about the young man trusting in Jesus, which raises the question for ourselves. What do we really trust? This is a great place to bring that up in our group time.
It is.
Hey, here's this guy being challenged to think about, what do you trust? And we need to think about that too. What do we trust? You and I've talked about this before, Amber, about how different pastors use different phrases mm-hmm. in their sermons when they're talking about the gospel. Some will say, trust Jesus. I was reading late yesterday, and this person kept using the phrase, show your love to God by. Mm-hmm. And anytime they were talking about making a commitment to Jesus or whatever, however you want to phrase it, commit to him is another one of those phrases that some pastors would use a lot. You keep seeing them use a specific phrase that they really like for some reason. For me, I'm going to use the phrase, follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. Partly because of my own life, that's the come follow me is the challenge that God used to capture my heart. I also think about what it means. I want to try to think about what does it mean to follow Jesus for a minute. Can we do that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
First of all, it means we deal with our priorities and our focus. I think about the Hebrews 12 passage, keep your eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of your faith. In John 20, Peter is asked by Jesus, do you love me more than these? That's about priority and about a person's focus. Follow me is also about allegiance. That same passage, John 20, Peter's told he's going to die for Jesus. That is allegiance. And that's what it means to follow him, is that allegiance. It also means surrender in the sense that we're living sacrifices. Proverbs 3 also comes to mind, where we're told to stop leaning on our own understanding and trust God. We surrender our understanding to God's understanding, and we become living sacrifices. So priority, allegiance, surrender, and then identity. In Acts 4:13, we find a story about Peter and John. The people who are listening to him recognize them as being uneducated and unlearned, but having been with Jesus. So their identity was they were with Jesus. It was what he was asking this young man to do as well, was to identify with him. And then the last idea I think about when it comes to following Jesus is an example, being imitators. 1 Corinthians 11, Ephesians 5, mm-hmm. 1, even 1 John 2, 6, where it says, walk as he walked. All of those are about being imitators of Jesus or following his example. So those, what was that? Five things: priority, allegiance, surrender, identity, and example help us understand what it means to follow him.
I really like that, because I think that would be a very valuable discussion to have in our groups this weekend, because we can read a passage like this and go, okay, follow Jesus. And that sounds, it's succinct, it's scriptural, but I think it's helpful to really unpack that a little bit and say, okay, what does that look like in today's society. What does it look like for us to follow him when we have jobs and responsibilities and a full schedule and all of those things? How do we practically live that out so that we are following him and not just fitting Jesus into our Sunday morning, our Sunday morning time slot and no other time during the week? Because we don't want to do that. We want to follow him all day, every day. And so how do we do that? And I think your discussion there really gets us going in that direction.
And this guy that is talking to Jesus is probably somebody we would have loved to have had it as a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who wouldn't want to have somebody whose city's kept all those relational rules, being a good neighbor, all those things.
Yeah.
But the problem is he didn't have a relationship with the Father.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. Our next set of verses, we'll take a look at verses 23 through 26. Jesus told his disciples that it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at this and asked, "Who can be saved?" Jesus replied that with God, all things are possible. So first, I think one question that can be asked is, why might wealthy individuals struggle to come to faith in Christ? And, you know, I think, well, maybe some things never change. Jesus said it here, but it's not that they can't. Like, anyone can certainly repent, turn to the Lord, ask for forgiveness. And he says if we ask for his forgiveness, that he gives it to us. So there's certainly no obstacle in that sense. But why might a wealthy individual struggle to come to faith in Christ? Well, the easy part really is, well, maybe not so easy, turning from sin and being led by our own self maybe isn't so easy for some people. I say the struggle for some could be we want to be self-reliant. And when we come to faith in Christ, we have to set that down and be reliant on him. So I think the struggle here is, are we willing to yield what we might want and things that we might prioritize and be able to set those down to follow the Lord and what he tells us to prioritize and to go after. I don't know if this sounds familiar, but like as kids, I could remember hearing and even saying the phrase, "You're not the boss of me," which means I don't have to do what you tell me to do.
Amber, I can't imagine you saying that to somebody.
Well, I mean, I know I did. And so we don't like to let other people be our boss, right? You know, we want to do our own thing, make our own decisions. And so coming to Christ means we put all that down and we let him be our savior and our boss, right? So I think it could be difficult for a wealthy person who can easily be self-reliant to be able to set that down. Now, certainly anyone can struggle with self-reliance and being willing to set that down to follow the Lord. But I think that's what he's talking about here. Self-reliance is hard, but once we know and experience Jesus' forgiveness, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. We want to follow him. Our next set of verses 27 through 30. Peter responded by saying they had left everything to follow Jesus. And Jesus promised the disciples that those who have left everything to follow him will receive 100 times more. True followers of Jesus, in contrast to the rich young ruler, will also inherit eternal life. And he told them then that the first will be the last and the last first. Dwayne, talk to us about these verses.
You know, we can point a finger at Peter here for asking what seems to be a selfish question, but really there's a bigger question behind what he's asking, and that is, will it be worth it for us? Now, Jesus points, you're going to get to judge the 12 tribes, which sounds easy on the surface. But remember, Moses gave that a try in Exodus 18, and it was about to kill him. In fact, his father-in-law had to sit him down and tell him, there's got to be a better way than what you're doing here. So I don't know that that's as cherished as we think it should be. Notice what Jesus is really pointing to here. And that is, relationships that are lost will be but placed 100-fold. A new family that you inherit eternal life with. It's an inheritance that is not stuff, obviously, because he's just talked to the rich young man, said, sell all your stuff, come follow me. It's not stuff. It's a life worth living. It's a life that at the end of the day, you can say, this was well done. And I have an inheritance waiting for me on the other side. And it's really where this conversation began in the first place, with the young man's question of what do I need to do to have eternal life? And we're making full circle here. And I noted that this passage in Mark is what God used to draw me to himself. I will say this, it is worth it. Mm-hmm. I would have to stand up to Peter at this point and say, mm-hmm. I can tell you mm-hmm. it's worth it. Yes, there's friends and family and people don't always understand what you're doing. But there's other things that God places in your life that makes it worth it. A key thing for us to remember here is the focus is not on what is left behind, but the inheritance that's in the future, that which is awaiting us. So many times, Peter's this point here, we left this. Well, his focus was he left behind. I left my fishing boat. I left my nets. Oh, those are some really, really nice nets, Jesus. You don't know how good nets those were. And instead, Jesus said, just look to the future.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Look at the inheritance that's awaiting you. There's 100-fold relationships. There's a family, and that family is welcomed into my kingdom. Yeah. Just look at that inheritance that's there. Once again, I want us to be careful with this word inheritance. We think of inheritance as something. We got X amount of money or property or whatever from when a loved one passed away. There was some treasure that we got. The treasure for us when it comes to being a follower of Jesus is Jesus himself. That's the treasure. And we have to keep that in mind when we think about this inheritance. Yes. Mm-hmm. We can see that in the Old Testament. If you remember, the Levites were not given any property. They didn't have an inheritance as such because their inheritance was the work that was ahead of them with the tabernacle. The same is true for us. Our inheritance is the Father himself, is his presence, not some piece of land somewhere, but being in his presence. And that's where the peace is. That's where the fulfillment is. That's where the joy is. That's where the worth it comes from. And we've got to keep that in mind when we're teaching this lesson.
That's a good word. Each week on the podcast, we highlight something that we think group leaders shouldn't miss in the resources. It'll be an item that we consider to be super helpful, super valuable to your discussion on this session. So this week, I want to spend a minute talking about our bonus digital content. This session has one of those in it. There's usually three or maybe four throughout the quarter. And there's one this session. Leaders will see a QR code on page 84 of the leader guide. When users scan that code with their phones, they'll be able to access a 3-minute video in which Bob Bunn and I discuss the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and how they are the same, what differences we find, and what are the benefits of studying them together. So it's helpful. It's, as mentioned, it's in the leader guide. It's also in the daily discipleship guide back in the teaching plan pages. And it's also in Quick Source. So don't miss that. It's a video about the Synoptic Gospels. Well, Duane, thank you for being on the podcast today.
Thank you again, Amber, for letting me be here. One of the things I miss in my role as manager is getting to do this podcast every week. Now, understand, I am very glad that you're the one hosting it now.
Yeah.
But I still miss having that opportunity to be a part of it.
Well, I appreciate you making the time. I know you're busy, but we like having you on here. So
I love getting to do this.
Well, next week, we will take a look at Session 8. Mike Livingston will be on the podcast, and we will study Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. We hope you'll join us.